so enjoyed being here and just enjoyed hanging out with the teenagers and seeing what God's doing in their lives and in their hearts. And I'm looking forward to what God does tonight. So if you guessed it already, 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 is what people often refer to as the love chapter. The chapter speaking of love, of charity. And really that's the topic of the message tonight. And, just as I think about it, I have been given, as a young man around this age, I've been given a lot of advice on love. Most of it unwarranted. So some of you know how that is. I see some young people looking around. They're like, yeah, I've heard all the advice. I've been told all these things. I'll just think of one example specifically. I was working for a roofing company in between semesters at school, and I was riding with this guy, and he was probably around 70 years old, and he just looks at me, quiet, it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, I'm still drinking my coffee, and he says, Arthur, when you get married, you just sing songs to your wife, all right? And then he proceeds to sing this song to me that I have never heard of in my life, probably for the next 30 seconds. No, he's giving me advice on love. We hear all the different things, we hear all the different stories, all the different takes that people have. And obviously, at the ripe age of 22 years old, I am not an expert on love by any stretch of the imagination. But God's Word is. And as I've looked through this chapter and I've studied it, I've spent some time, I've seen where God has pointed out some areas in my life that really maybe I could work on. Some areas maybe of your life that you can work on. And I'm not just talking about a love between a husband and wife tonight. I'm talking about a love between a family, between parents and their kids and kids and their parents. A love in our church between one another, between one side of the aisle and the other side. I'm talking about love between everybody. Because really, God's love for us is universal. It's not just speaking of, a husband and wife relationship, but it's speaking of our love even to our enemies, even to the stranger that we may not know. And I pray tonight that our love will be deepened, that our love, whether it's for your spouse or for your kids or for your family or for it's the stranger that you'll meet this week, that your love will be challenged to be a deeper love, that my love will be challenged to be a deeper, to be a more kind, to be a more consistent love like this chapter speaks about. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 13, I'll read the first few verses. The Word of God says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Charity is in the Greek is the word agape. Love is just talking about a supreme, a love that is unconditional, a love that is divine. Said, if I have not this love, he said, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Having a love like God has, according to these verses, is more important than having faith. It's more important than speaking in tongues. Having the love like Jesus has is really of utmost importance. It's more important than giving our bodies to be a martyr. It's more important than giving to the poor. Having this love is really vital to our relationship to one another as a church, to our relationship with those closest to us, and to our relationship with the lost and dying world. Love is important. Let's pray and then we'll get into the rest of the message. Dear Father, Lord, we love you. God, we can only love you because you first loved us. God, this evening as we open up your word and as we look at the commands of love that you've given us, God, I pray that you challenge us, Lord. God, challenge me, Lord, like you have all this week as I've studied this. God, work in our hearts to have a deeper, to have a more genuine, and have a real love like you have, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Like I said a few minutes ago, I am no expert on love. But if there's one thing I learned about a Christ-like love is that it is powerful. You know, it's powerful that a love can restore a marriage. It's powerful a love that brings us to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Most of us, when we accepted Christ, it's because we learn of His love. Love is powerful. You know, I just graduated from Bible college, and let me tell you, I have seen the power of love with some of the things that guys have done because they thought they were in love. Love makes us do some things. Hey, love will change our minds. Love will change our hearts. A person that was bitter and that was hard-hearted, when they experience the love of Christ shown to them through somebody else, it can break down some of that bitterness. Love is powerful. And as we go through the rest of this chapter, really what we'll see is the way that our love should be. We'll see, as I've called it tonight, a checklist of love. We're going to look at some different aspects of love, and I know that there's a lot in this chapter, so we'll move quickly, but we'll see a love that is a love like Jesus. A love that we need to have for our spouse, for our kids, for our siblings, for the people that we really don't like, for the people that we don't really know. Because it's a love that has the power to save a soul. It's a love that has the power to restore marriages, to nurture and raise children, a love that has the power to bring lost people to Jesus Christ. It's a love that has the power to soften hearts. It is a love that has a power to unify a church. And a love that has the power to change lives. So I ask you tonight, before we get into this checklist of love, how are you doing at showing love? Not just to the people that you like, but really to everybody. And tonight, as we look at this checklist, if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write these down and just ask these questions honestly and transparently between you and God, and see how your love is matching up to God's love. So verse number 4, if you'll look with me, the first love on the checklist is the love that is long-suffering. Is your love long-suffering? Verse number 4, the Bible says, "Charity suffereth long." I don't know if you think about that with me for a second, but that doesn't sound too fun. A love that suffers. And it doesn't just suffer for a little bit, but it's a love that suffers long. When you study this word for suffering long, it has an idea of patient. You know, it's not easy to be patient or to suffer long, but if we're going to love like Jesus loves, then there will be some times when we need to love people when it's difficult. There will be some times when we need to love somebody and care about somebody and put somebody first and do what's right by somebody else, even when it feels like we're suffering. Because a love like Jesus suffers long. And as we think of Jesus Christ as our supreme example, there was Jesus Christ on the cross. There was Jesus Christ all throughout these thousands of years when He's been rejected and He's been mocked, yet He still loves. To think of Christ on the cross when He looked out and He saw the centurion and He saw those that had betrayed Him, those that had mocked Him, and He didn't look at them in anger, but He looked at them in love. And honestly, there will be times when some people are difficult to love. There will be times when we will love somebody and we will give to somebody and their reaction causes us to suffer. But God says that charity suffereth long. And we've all been there where we've given to somebody or we've loved somebody and they just didn't give or love back. And we might think I could take it for just a little while. We might think I could love them for a little bit, but if they don't change, then I'm going to be done. But God suffers long. I'm thankful that there's times when God suffers long with me. Then when God looks at Arthur, and even though Arthur's made a mistake time and time again, or there's been sin in my life where I haven't got it right for a long while, God has looked at me, and even though maybe I have shamed Him or I have hurt Him, that He has suffered long and loved me anyways. And look, I don't know what your relationship is with your spouse or with your kids or with the people that you work with, but we need to have a love that suffers long, even when it's difficult. Even when it's hard, even when it hurts, does your love suffer long? Number 2, is your love kind? Verse number 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. one of the most basic commands in the Bible that we teach little kids, sometimes, unfortunately, we forget as adults. And that's Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Some of you have quoted that in the nursery, no doubt, in the past few weeks. You know, it cracks me up. We see these little kids and they do something that's just totally not kind. I've seen walking by or I've watched kids for like a couples outing or something like that. And you just see this little kid, he walks up and just, man, smacks this other little kid. That's not what we're talking about when we say be kind. When the lady watching says, be kind one to another. But for us, sometimes it's just an unkind word. It's an unkind thought. There are times when maybe we're getting irritated or we're getting frustrated and we say something that is rude or something with just a little bit of a barb on it, whether it's a joke, whether it's something that we're just kidding, and we say something that is unloving. Is your love kind? That's something we teach basic to the smallest of kids. And somehow, sometimes as we get a little bit older, we forget to be kind. Our love should not be rude. Our love should not be mean. Our love should not be angry. But our love should be gentle. Our love should be peaceable. Our love for everyone in our family, for those that we see on the street, should be a love that is kind at all times. Is your love kind? It's being rude or mean to a cashier or receptionist. When we've seen Christians do it. It's not knowing how to make or give time to your wife or your kids. It's not sharing a smile or a kind word with a lost person. It's not caring enough for the person that you see down the street to say, hey, I care about you. Here's an invitation to my church. Hey, here's something that tells you about Jesus Christ. Is your love kind? Or do you struggle sometimes with being rude? Do you struggle sometimes with just making a comment or thinking a thought or just one little thing where you strike out in being irritated where your love is not kind? It's amazing sometimes how rude that we have all seen some Christians be. But that should not be so of us. Our love should be kind. Number three, does your love envy? Verse number four, charity envieth not. When you love someone like Jesus loves, you will not be jealous of their success. You will not be jealous of the blessing that God gives to them. You will not look at the person across the aisle or the person in your family or your husband or your wife and wish that you had what they had instead of them. A supreme love, a love like Jesus loves, does not ever look at somebody and say, I wish I had that instead of you. Instead, that is quite the opposite of love. A love looks at the blessings of God. A love looks at something that somebody else has been given. A love like Jesus looks at that and rejoices and praises God and is genuinely pleased for that person. Proverbs 14:30 calls envy the rottenness of bones. Proverbs 24:1 says, be not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. James 3:16 says, where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. We must avoid envy and jealousy. God may give somebody else a blessing that you do not get. God may give that person blessings and it seems like all He gives you are the hard times. The Bible says that we should rejoice with them that rejoice. Our love should never envy. We should never be jealous. Number four, does your love boast? The end of verse number four, the Bible says, charity vaunteth not itself. We've seen somebody boast of their goodness or their abilities. We've seen them, in essence, declare proudly, I am better at this than you are. We've seen somebody with a smile on their face, with a little bit of a smirk, and they talk up how good they are. They make claims about themselves, maybe that aren't true, or maybe they just have a love that doesn't care about somebody else. Love never says, I'm better than another church member. Hey, love never says that I do more around this house than you do. We should have a love that never boasts about how good we are, about what we have done, whether it's something good that you have done. Your love should not vaunt yourself. It should not boast. It should not highly speak of yourself. Instead, love lifts up others. Love puts others to the forefront instead of boasting yourself. Proverbs 27:2 says, "Let not another man praise thee," or "let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips." I've heard it from different people, whether it's at college or whether it's people I've grown up with, and they say, "You know, I did this, so you owe me this." Or say things like, "Look at all the good things I've done. Hey, I did this and I did this and I did this. What are you doing?" That's a love that boasts. It's a love that fails. It's a love that is not like Jesus Christ. You may think that you're trying to do well. You may think that you're trying to help somebody out. But a love like Jesus loves puts another person above yourself. It praises others. Our love, our attitude, whether it's with people we don't know or whether it's in our own family, should not boast. Number five, is your love proud? The end of verse number four, talking about charity, is not puffed up. Talking about being proud. Loving like Jesus is not thinking of yourself as better than someone else. Sure, boasting is putting yourself forward, is speaking up yourself, talking up yourself. But pride is that inward feeling, that inward attitude that I have it all together. I know what I'm talking about. I know more than you. Love should never be proud. When we look at our relationship with somebody else, we should never come to them with an "I'm better than you" attitude. Not your spouse, not your kids, not anybody in your family, not anybody else in the church, not even the down and outer down the road. Love instead says, "I'm nothing, and Jesus is everything." Instead, love humbles ourself to serve somebody, to say, "Look, I don't have it all together, but what can I do to grow my love for you?" The summer of 1986, there were two ships that collided in the Black Sea off of the coast of Russia. Hundreds of passengers died as they were hurled into the icy waters below. But the news of the disaster was further darkened when an investigation revealed the cause of the accident. See, it wasn't a technology problem like a radar or something they just didn't see. It wasn't even a thick fog. But this accident was caused by human stubbornness. Each captain was aware of the other ship's presence. Both could have steered clear, but according to the news reports, neither captain wanted to give way to the other. They were just too proud to move first. And unfortunately, there are times in our life, whether it's in our home, whether it's at work, or whether it's somebody else, somewhere else, where we are too proud to give in, whether it's what somebody else wants, whether it's somebody else's idea, whether it's something somebody else thinks will be good. There's times when we're butting heads and we're butting heads and we're heading for destruction because we simply will not humble ourselves. Love is not proud. Love is not thinking we know better or we could do it better. Love is not thinking that we're smarter. That will only ruin a marriage, ruin a family. It will only divide this church and it will only turn the lost away from the gospel if we're proud. Love is humble. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention." Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Love is never proud. Verse number 5, talking about charity, doth not behave itself unseemly. Two things that this word is talking about. Number 1 is immoral, and number 2 is rude. Does your love behave unseemly? See, this kind of goes back to love is kind. Love does not behave itself in a mean or rude or unseemly manner. Love doesn't tear down or act foolishly. Love isn't inconsiderate. Love is not rude. Love is not immoral. Love thinks of the other before thinking of itself. Love behaves in a way that will be received with grace by the other person. love does not behave unseemly. Unfortunately, there are times when, if we were honest, we'd say, yeah, I behaved unseemly. I've said something or I've done something and I could look at it. Maybe I immediately felt regret, but there have been times in a relationship with somebody else where I have lashed out, either just being mean or being inconsiderate or acting foolishly. But love never does that. A love like Jesus has. A love is never immoral. A love never cheats on a spouse. A love never puts our flesh before God's word. Love never behaves unseemly. Number 7, love is not selfish. Verse number 5 again, seeketh not her own. Love is not eye-centered. Oh, this is probably one of the biggest ones that, if I were to be honest, I think probably I struggle with most, and everybody in here may say I struggle with most, is how often we can just be selfish. I've been told that one day when I get married, I will find out just how selfish I really am. And some of you are smiling and laughing. Why? Because when you're put in a life, in a room, in a house with another person, and you want what you want, and maybe you're not used to thinking about what somebody else cares about all the time, you can act selfishly. What you can seek your own. It's an idea that is just all about you. At the middle of pride and at the middle of the sin is the letter I. And how often in the middle of our own little world, whether it's our marriage, whether it's our relationship with our family, or whether it's just out and about, we are focused on I. If you're having problems with somebody else, maybe you need to consider that you may just be selfish. Focusing on, that's my spot, that was my idea, this is how I like it, this is what I think, this is what I want. One of the biggest dangers to love and to a loving relationship is selfishness. I've heard people argue, and it's often just because they want their own way. Whether it's teenagers, whether it's kids, whether it's a husband and wife, they are mean or rude because they selfishly only want what they want. But remember, love is not selfish. Love does not seek its own. Love prefers one another. Love puts somebody else first. Love says, what would you like? Love says, how would you like to do it? What do you think? Jesus was not selfish. When Christ looked at us and He looked at us in love, it was not just supremely considerate about what He wants. But yet Jesus looks at us in love and sometimes considers what we need and what will be best for us. Real Christ-like supreme love is selfless, not selfish. It sacrifices self for the better of the other person. Philippians 2:4 says, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Love does not seek her own. Number 8, is your love easily provoked? The end of verse number 5 said, is not easily provoked. Have you ever been around someone with a short fuse? Now don't look at anybody or point at anybody. Well, I'll say there's one of my siblings in the house, and there's 4 of us growing up, and there was one of them who we all knew had a short fuse. Oh, we know that if we picked on them just a little bit, we knew that if we said the right thing or we poked fun at them in just the right way, man, we knew that they were going to blow up. So naturally, what did we do? Oh, we picked at them. We made fun of them. We messed with them right until they got to the point where they were about to explode. But you know, love does not have a short fuse. Love does not act in a way that is easily angered or easily provoked, as the Bible says. Do you love others enough to watch your short fuse? Not everybody is that wired that way, but some are. We're just the right thing. We're just enough of something that you don't like will set you off like that. That's something we have to be careful of. That's something if we're going to nurture a loving relationship with one another, whether it's here at the church or whether it's in your home, you cannot be easily provoked. Well, we have to learn to suffer long sometimes. We have to have that love that is kind, that is gentle, that love that is patient, that love that is not proud, because we need a love that is not easily provoked. It's not very loving to lose it on someone just because they said something wrong. It's not very loving to blow up at somebody or to blow up at your kids because they just did something and they got on your last nerve. No, love is not easily provoked. Proverbs 14:29 says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Are you easily angered? Are you easily frustrated? Love is not easily provoked. Number 9, does your love think evil? The end of verse number 5, the last little phrase there says, "Thinketh no evil." Many people struggle with this in that they look at somebody and they either have ill intentions towards someone or they think that person has ill intentions towards them. But instead, love does not ever look at another person, whether your spouse, your family member, or someone you don't know, and think something negative about them. I can't tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, "They must be thinking this, and that's why they looked that way. Oh, they must be thinking this about me, so that's why they acted that way." You know, sometimes that's not the reason at all. But instead, we're thinking evil of them. There's a time when we should look at somebody and we should not just constantly judge their motives or judge their actions and think evil of them, whether it's hoping evil on them or whether it's thinking of their motives and their actions. But instead, we should look at somebody else and think the best of them, think good of them. Love never judges somebody's motives or somebody's thoughts unless they make them known. Love thinks good. Love thinks the best about people. Love does not come to somebody with a predisposition about them that is not positive. Love thinks no evil. Half of the time, whether it's anger or whether it's frustration, it all starts in the time that we spend thinking about something and dwelling about something that may not even be true. Love thinks no evil. You know, if you're thinking something about somebody else in this room or about a spouse or about your children or they're thinking something about you, the best thing that you can do is, number one, change your thinking, and number two, have a conversation about it. And that's not always easy. But instead of sitting there and thinking evil toward them or thinking that they must be thinking evil about you, we should just get those things settled and out of the way, because love thinks no evil. Luke 6:37 says, "Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven." How often do we think evil towards somebody else? Now, we may never say it. Well, we may never look at them and be rude or be mean. But do you think evil, or do you think good? Number 10, does your love rejoice in sin? Verse number 6, the Bible says, "Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth." Love is never happy when someone sins. Hey, love is never rejoicing when somebody acts in a way that is not right, in a way that does not please God. Love is never rejoicing when somebody else falters. And I've seen that before, and I'm sure most of us have seen somebody else get happy, either because somebody messes up, or because somebody else is doing something and you may say, "Oh, that's okay. Yeah, it's sin, but you know what? Good for them." Love rejoices when somebody gets right with God. Love rejoices when somebody does right, but love never rejoices when someone sins. Never rejoice when your child or your spouse does wrong. It's not easy, and I'm not saying to be rude or to be brash or to be mean or to handle things in just a way that is overpowering. Yes, you should love them despite their faults. That's not what I'm saying. But you should not rejoice in their sin. Sin must be corrected. Sin must be dealt with. And I'm not saying again that you need to be mean or anything like that. Love endures and never fails, even when someone is wrong. But love never rejoices in sin. And growing up, I saw far too many of my friends' parents, they would rejoice in what their child was doing, even when it was sin. Even when it was wrong. Don't berate them. Don't beat them over the head. No, we should love them, and we should love them back to Jesus Christ. But Jesus does not cast us out when we sin. And yes, Jesus does not hate us. Jesus is not mean, rude, or angry. But Jesus never rejoices in our sin. Does your love rejoice in sin? Perfect love never rejoices in sin. Instead, like the second part of that verse says, it says, our love rejoices in truth. Verse number 6, but rejoiceth in the truth. Love doesn't lie, love doesn't slander, and love never gives half-truths. And sometimes we may say something that is false, and we may ignore something or say something that's not exactly true just to make somebody feel good. But that is not love. The Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. And sometimes it may not be easy to tell the truth. Sometimes it may not be easy to be transparent. But love always rejoices in truth, not in lies. And if we want to ruin our relationship with somebody else, sure, just lie, just slander. Just be rude about something that is not true. Love rejoices in truth. Love doesn't hold secrets. Love does not harm. Love does not hold, but instead love holds truth out in the open. Love rejoices when the truth is held, when the truth is honored, when God is lifted up because His Word is truth, and love rejoices in the truth, not in sin. Does your love rejoice in the truth? When you look at somebody else, does your love rejoice in that they are following the Word of God? Does your love rejoice when your child tells the truth, even though maybe you don't want them to and they put you in an awkward position? Does your love rejoice in truth? Number 12, does your love bear all things? Verse number 7, beareth all things. A supreme kind of love can put up with a lot. And some of us can put up with a good bit. We can be patient and we can wait and we can forgive. But does your love have a breaking point? Does your love ever say there's a point where it will be enough? I have put up with enough. You think of the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, there may be a lot that you can deal with and there may be a lot that you can endure. But does your love have a breaking point? The Bible says love beareth all things. Jesus' love is never broken. Romans chapter 8, I love that chapter of the Word of God. And it talks about how there is nothing that can separate us from His love. Is there something somebody else can do that can cause you to stop loving them? Jesus' love bears all things, all of our failures, all the backbiting, all the betrayal. Yet Jesus still loves. In your marriage, you may have to put up with a lot. Your kids may cause you to put up with a lot. You know, we will have to put up with a lot from this old wicked world. But we must learn to bear all things, no matter how much it gets to be. Because a love like Jesus is willing to put up with it again and again and again, even though it's not easy. Love bears all things. Does your love give the benefit of the doubt? That's number 13. Verse number 7, it says, believeth all things. Love believes all things. Love chooses to trust and believe even if the other person doesn't believe it. Love chooses to look at that person, and if you don't know that they're telling the truth, love chooses to give them the benefit of the doubt. Look, that person may have failed you in the past, but love gives them a second chance. Love sees the best. Love is thankful for second chances. And I say, I am so thankful for the second chances that God has given me. And the third chances, and the fourth chances, and the fifth, and whatever chance I'm probably on right now. You know what? Love believeth all things. And we look at God's love and we say, that's wonderful, but you don't know what so-and-so did. Oh yes, God puts up with all, but oh, I can't be like that. But God says the love that we need to have is a love that believeth all things. God doesn't look at us like, well, he fell before, so I'm just going to be done with him. God doesn't look at us like, he just can't get it right. Instead, love believes in all things. Love gives the benefit of the doubt. Number 14, love hopeth all things. Love has an earnest expectation between one another. Love does not doubt. Love does not expect the negative. Love does not expect others to be mean or to be rude or to fail, but instead love hopes. Love hopes that your marriage can get better. Love hopes that your relationship with your kids can get better. Love hopes that your child who has turned away from God will one day repent and come back to Jesus Christ. Love hopes that our church can be unified and grown together. Love hopeth all things. Love hopes that the hardest sinner can be saved. And love hopes that the least lovable person can become more like Jesus Christ. Love hopes. Love does not sit there in doubt. Love does not sit there and think, wow, yeah, this is never going to get better. But no, love hopes in all things. Love endures. Verse number 7, the end of it says, endureth all thing. Love stays when it's hard. Love loves when it's difficult. Love endures the good times and the bad times. We've all endured some things. Some of you may have endured a trip to the DMV. Some of you may have endured a doctor's appointment that you really didn't enjoy. Love endures some pretty hard things. You know, there'll be some times when, you know what, it feels like I just want to give in. I just want to give up. I just want it to be the end and to be over, but love endures. Love doesn't give up on somebody else. Love endures even when it's uncomfortable to witness. Even when it's hard to spend time with your spouse. Even when it's difficult to stay faithful. Even when it's hard to love like we're supposed to love. Jesus' love for us endured the cross. Jesus' love has endured so much for years and years and years. How does our love endure? And lastly, on the little checklist, love never fails. Verse number 8, charity never fails. I'm thankful that when God loved me, His love did not fail when I messed up the first time. I'm thankful that when Jesus Christ decided that He was going to love me, that He loved me until I was able to be redeemed. I'm thankful for people that I have seen in life that they loved each other even when it was difficult, even when it was the hardest of times, even when it seemed like nothing was going well, that their love would not fail. And there will be times when we look at your marriage relationship, maybe your family, maybe your kids, maybe the unity in this church, and you're looking at anything, I just don't know how it's going to happen. I don't understand how it's going to get better. I just don't see things working out. But look, God has given us a checklist of love. God has shown us how our love should be. And He says that this charity, it never fails. So whether it be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is done in part shall be away. And it goes on and on and on to say, but it goes on to say that love, charity never fails. There will be things that will fail. There will be people that will fail. There will be things that will go away. There will be people that will drift apart. But a love like Jesus gives us will never fail. Verse number 13, the very end. The Bible says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. In the beginning, when we talked about love, we talked about loving your spouse. Talked about loving your kids. Talked about kids loving your parents. We talked about loving one another in this room. We talked about loving those at work or those in the community. How's your love? Some areas that maybe you don't quite measure up in. There's some areas I was looking at, I was like, you know, I need to work on that. I need to spend some time making sure I love like Jesus loves. You know, as I look toward the future, as I look towards maybe one day, hopefully getting married and having a family, and I look forward to God's ministry for my life, I need to have a love like Jesus has. And whatever stage of life you are, whether things have been bad, whether it seems like things just aren't going well, or whether things are going great, maybe to this week or maybe tonight, you need to work on your love. It might be somebody in this room that you need to have a conversation with. It might be your family that you need to have a family meeting tonight. You know, our love does those things. When it's difficult. When it's hard. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's not easy. But the Bible says charity never faileth. You might be going through it and nobody else in here knows about it. Determine to love like this chapter says, and love will not fail. You might be having some struggles with your kids, or kids, you might be having some struggles with your parents. Determine to love like the Word of God says to love. Some of those issues will take care of themselves. If you have an issue with somebody at work or a lost person, love them. And it will work out, because love never faileth. One of the best books I've ever read was a book called Won by Love, by a lady by the name of Norma McCorvey. And while you may not recognize her name by that, you'll recognize a name that she went by called Jane Roe. The famous case of Roe versus Wade. She was the poster child for abortion and for the legalism of abortion. And we look at that lady, and as you read the book, she describes her life, how she was basically used for the whole court case. She had never even had an abortion, about how all these things were done to her, and she was wrong, and she was wrong, and she was really in a miserable place. She ends up working at an abortion clinic, and she was full of hatred. She was full of anger. She did not really understand a whole lot about love. And she worked at that abortion clinic, and day after day, dealt with abortions. There was a person or some people that moved in not too far down the road that was a pro-life pregnancy crisis center. Some of those Christians from that crisis center just began to show her basic things and attitudes of love. And as they loved Miss Norma McCorvey, as their children wrote her some notes telling her Jesus loves you, as they treated her like a normal person and began to spend time with her and take time out for her, and to just show her a little bit of love like Jesus commands us to, that love began to soften her hard heart. And they loved on her even when she rejected it, even when she was mean and nasty. Even when she threatened them, they still loved on Norma McCorvey, the poster person for abortion. And that love broke down her heart to a point where she accepted Christ as her Savior, and her life was changed. The story of a hardened woman won by love. You know, you might have some issues with somebody in your life where, man, it's just difficult. They don't respond to you very well. You're just having a lot of trouble. You know what? You can win them by love. Your family issues, they can be taken care of by love. If there's any issues in the church, I haven't seen anything, I don't know about anything, they can be taken care of when you start loving each other. But God says that love will never fail. So how's your love tonight? You struggling to love people? Oh, some people, yeah, they're difficult to love. Sometimes, hey, we're difficult to love. Sometimes I'm difficult to love. But charity never faileth. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, we love You. And God, we're thankful for the love that You've shown us, God. Lord, a love that, God, really we don't understand and we don't deserve. Lord, I know that I need to work on some areas of my love, God. some areas that I have not done the best in, some areas that I struggle in. Lord, help me to grow a deeper and more genuine and more Christ-like love. And Lord, I pray for these dear people, Lord, that I care about, Lord, the people that I love, Lord, here in this room. God, I pray that you would help them. Lord, I don't know what's going on. Lord, there may be some people that really need to just learn to love each other, God. There may be somebody who just is really going through a difficult time. God, I pray that you would help them to love like Jesus loves. And Lord, I know that you put this message on my heart. And God, I don't necessarily understand all the reasons why. But God, I pray that you would grow us as a church in love for one another and in love for you, I pray. In Christ's name.